If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Stacking the Box is now a morning show, whether we like it or not, my friends. 9:30 a.m. Ed Sterling is on the side of not liking it, but here we are, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 where you are, Sterling. So it's a little bit tougher for you than it is for me. How are you doing on this fine Monday morning outside of being tired? The first words you spoke were 5 minutes ago when you hopped on the show here.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to warm the old voice box up. Fiance's out of town, so I'm not talking to myself. I'm not in the movie Split. I'm not trying to be that character. I don't got 23 personalities like I'm Dr. Pepper over here. I'm excited, though, because during the season, this will be great. It's a breakdown show. We're breaking down every single game, you know, almost first reaction, if you will. I'm very excited for that. August 5th. Not so much. You get me on December sometime, January. Oh, hell yeah. I'll be stoked.
Yeah, we usually, yeah, these Monday morning shows are going to be recapping like the previous day's NFL action. We don't have NFL to recap from yesterday. We do have the Hall of Fame game, which at least one aspect of that that we are going to talk about here. The main thing we are going to talk about, and I see Rob Miller in the chat, the disrespect just fuels the fire. I'm curious if this is relating to the biggest news from this past week, which it is the offseason still. I know we had the Hall of Fame game. The biggest news was, I think, that Tyreek Hill was named the number one player in the NFL. This is a yearly ranking system that has been going on. How long has it been going on now? 15 years they do this, top 100 players in the NFL. And for the first time ever, a wide receiver was named number one, Tyreek Hill, the former Chief. Last year, number one player, Patrick Mahomes, has dropped down to number four. So before we talk about Patrick Mahomes and if maybe that was disrespectful, let's focus on the number one player here. Do you think the voters got it right making Tyreek Hill the number one player in the NFL this season, Sterling?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take all the Chiefs fandom, all that stuff out for a second here. All right, so Mahomes, we'll get to. I have a lot of strong thoughts there. We'll get to those. By itself, Tyreek Hill, number one, I don't have a major issue with. He had a historic year last year. I mean, it was absurd, the numbers he put up, right? Last year, he was clear-cut the best wide receiver in football. And someone like me, which is funny, where I'm wearing a Miami Dolphins colored hat right now, I think he elevated Tua Tagovailoa a lot. Like, I really think he did. I don't have major qualms with Tyreek Hill being number one. I tend to lean quarterback, but again, this is just best player. Position not included. And they try and say it's based on last year's performance, which again, we'll get to in a second. In a nutshell, I don't have a major issue with Tyreek Hill going one.
No, I don't have an issue either. I think it comes down to how you define top player, because this is a debate that goes on in every sport for the history of every single sport and every single league is how do you define top player? I think there's a couple of different ways you can do it, and clearly this list is based on performance stats. Wins and losses aren't going to be involved. It's just how good of a player you are on the actual field compared to the other players that play your position. Because then I think there's the other argument, which is great. And I think the whether or not a player is great, because I think if we use a little bit of an older example, I think Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Tom Brady, but there is no denying that Tom Brady is a greater quarterback than Peyton Manning, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I give you
Tom Brady at the end of the day won games, won championships, clutch moments. He was there. But if you're just talking about like who generally played the position of quarterback better on a play to play basis, I think that was Peyton Manning. So I think this list, and I think Tyreek Hill being number one, it kind of proves that point that this list is just a play by play who were the best players compared to other players at their position last season. And I think if you go by that criteria, Tyreek Hill is clearly the number one player in the NFL.
I think clearly is strong. I do think CMC has his case.
Yep.
Obviously Mahomes, which we'll get to. I'm not trying to just spend the whole show talking about that. I do think Travis Kelce, if you're going just position by position, although last year didn't crack 1,000, I get that. And Chris Jones, now that Aaron Donald's retired, I think has a good case as well. I think Sauce Gardner, in my opinion, is the best cornerback in football. So you can make a case for the best cornerback. Fred Warner, I think, is the best linebacker. If you're going straight by your position versus who's your contemporary, who's the second best, I think those guys have a case to be made as well. I think Fred Warner more than some. Offensive line, maybe you go Trent Williams. Is Trent Williams that much better than, say, Laremy Tunsil, right? That maybe, is he number two? Armstead, like there's some guys, but you might go, hey, your guy, right? The guard.
Chris Lindstrom,
great guard. You can make a case. I would at least listen to it. I think Joe Tooney, obviously, but if you're going just by who's the best versus who's second best, again, they're still going with more fun positions, it seems like. Wide receiver, running back, two quarterbacks, top four, right?
Yeah.
Again, I'll get to some of my stronger thoughts later on, but again, in a nutshell, I don't have a major issue with this.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
I think it's either Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey. Lamar Jackson was put in at the number two slot. He is the NFL MVP, but the NFL MVP has, and I think we can all agree on it at this point, is that the NFL MVP is the best quarterback award. It was McCaffrey that won Offensive Player of the Year, correct?
Yeah.
So Tyreek Hill number one, despite not winning MVP or Offensive Player of the Year. Now Tyreek Hill did miss two games, I believe, so that probably hurt him when it comes to the awards. Hang V in the chat says Kelsey was a few yards shy of 1K and didn't play the first game in Saturday.
Oh, I know, but we don't talk about injury. I mean, injury is a part of the game, or right. Sitting out is part of the game. Yeah. I'm a Chiefs guy. You know this. You know I'm a Chiefs guy. I can't just give him the yards, though. I can't give him the yards.
So if anyone's curious, just if anyone didn't check out the list, let's just round with the top 10. Tyreek Hill, number one. Lamar Jackson, number two. Christian McCaffrey, number three. No real arguments there. I'd put CMC ahead of Lamar, but I'm fine with Lamar Jackson, number two. Patrick Mahomes, number four. Miles Garrett, who is Defensive Player of the Year, number five. Chris Jones, number six. Trent Williams, widely regarded as the best offensive lineman, number seven. TJ Watt, number eight. Travis Kelce, number nine. Max Crosby, pass rusher for the Raiders, number 10, which is a little bit surprising to me. Do you want to just move on and do you want to get your thoughts about Patrick Mahomes out of the way here?
Well, first, I don't think Max Crosby being 10 is surprising. It may be surprising because I'm shocked that he's finally getting the recognition he deserves. Mm-hmm. Like, I love this.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a phenomenal player and he plays more snaps than anyone at a position where it's damn hard to play that many snaps. Max Crosby is a beast, and I have immense amount of respect for him. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he's getting his due here. I think part of this is Chiefs fatigue as a whole. I think people are tired of them. They had, no one in the top from 20 to 100? No Creed Humphrey, maybe the best guard, or maybe the best center in football. No Joe Tooney, a top three guard in football. L'Jarius Sneed no longer a Chief, but I think a lot of people assume that he was one of the best cornerbacks in football last year. He's a Titan now, nowhere on this list. I had to take a look. I apologize. Trent McDuffie, first team all pro corner last year, first team all pro. Where was he? Like, I think there's some Chiefs fatigue seriously happening right now. With Mahomes at four, if you're going just based off of last year, fine. That's fair, right? Tyreek Hill, CMC, and Lamar was MVP. If you're going just based off last year, again, because the voting's done before the playoffs happen. Mitchell Schwartz was talking about this.
Is that true?
That was what he was saying. So it could be wrong. But he says a lot of times you get these sheets before the Super Bowl.
If that's the case, I think Mahomes should be lower than four then.
That's fair. I mean, again, last year he had a fine year. It wasn't all his fault, right? We know the wide receivers.
Sure.
He played great last year. His receivers let him down. But let's be real now. We don't make excuses. It's just results. If it was before the Super Bowl, 4 is fine. If it's after, I have a little bit of questions. And if it's based just on 1 year, no look ahead, then how the hell is Aaron Rodgers at, what was he, 76, 73, playing 4 snaps? That's what it comes down to me is, yeah, what's the criteria? Where's the consistency?
Right, because if it's based off last year, Aaron Rodgers can't even be ranked. He played 4 snaps.
He can't be ranked at all. He can't be anywhere. And so if it's based on this upcoming year, well, it's clearly Mahomes. If it's based on post-Super Bowl, it's clearly Mahomes. If it's based on just last year, I'm fine with 4. But then how the hell are guys like L'Jarius Sneed not on this list? How are guys like Creed Humphrey not on this list? And how the hell is Aaron Rodgers on this list? It's the consistency. Yeah. That's where I find the issue.
That's a great point. If they're going to make a big deal about this list every single year when it gets released, I think it needs to be a little bit more public, because I'm trying to look through right now. It needs to become a little bit more public what this criteria is. Because you're right. If it's just based on last season, Aaron Rodgers and anyone else who was hurt for the large majority of last season probably shouldn't be on the list. But is it just last season? Is it the Super Bowl? Is it a look ahead? I know it's just kind of supposed to be like a fun list. At the end of the day, it's a meaningless list that does truly mean nothing. But they do make a big deal of it every single year. So if they're going to make a big deal of it, I need to find out what this criteria is a little bit more. Matthew says they need to take the players out of doing the rankings and have other people doing the rankings. I mean, that's part of it too, is this is apparently all player voted. How much do players know about how good players are in other conferences? Because they're not sitting down and watching football on Sunday. Now, the teams that they do play, especially like divisional teams, that they actually probably watch more than a fan, because they sit down and you have to watch, you know, the amount of film they have to watch of these players on a weekly basis. But if they don't play a team, so I mean, there's 16 teams in a conference, they only play 5 teams from the other conference. So there's like 11 teams in the other conference, they won't even like sit down to watch at all.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of a flaw in the voting process.
I think it's a major flaw. I've said this for the longest time. You can respect the players. And again, here we are making this a bigger deal than it should be.
Right.
The players aren't analysts. I'm not saying they don't understand the game way better than analysts, because they're playing at the highest level. I get it. They do. But your point rings true. And it's the point I make every single time. They're not sitting down and watching every single game. They watch their team and their opponents.
Yeah.
And they watch their opponents basically a handful of games, a certain specific amount of games and snaps. They know a lot of times they go by name. They go by name recognition. Mm-hmm. They go by friends. They go by who they went to college with. And that's why I think Chiefs fatigue is a real thing. You think Ja'Marr Chase, who is throwing Patty Mahomes up at 1?
Right. Well, I think in that clip, I think he did kind of say Patrick Mahomes number 1.
Do you think Josh Allen is out there going, yeah, you know what? I'm putting Mahomes over me.
Right.
I'm doing it. Like again, do you think Mahomes is putting himself over those, or like putting those guys above him? No, like it's just how it breaks down. I think that when you put the players in it, I think it's fun. I think it's a glimpse at what maybe they think. But also I sit back and go, what happened last time Mahomes was 4? Do you remember this?
No.
Counting on his hands? Counting on it. After scoring a touchdown, was the playoffs? Against, I think, Lamar, when Lamar was ranked number 1, and he's counting on his hands to let everyone know, I remember where you put me. I'm the 4th best player, right? Soft. I mean, again, you're riling up a guy you don't want to rile up. And I see, Hunter, a lot of guys from West Alabama in the NFL, don't take one sentence and say that's my entire thought process here. I said I'm fine with Tyreek Hill. I get it. All I asked was for some consistency. Tyreek Hill is, I bet every single corner, every cornerback said, yeah, Tyreek Hill, that dude cooked me. No issue with that. No one has Tyreek Hill fatigue. No one has Miami Dolphins fatigue.
Well, this is.
All right. Am I wrong, Ian? Am I wrong?
No, it's just, it comes down back to the same thing we talk about every show, Sterling. It's just, I'm sick of Chiefs fans. They win all these championships and now they're playing woe is me. Like, okay.
I'm not playing woe is me. I don't care. I don't give a hoot.
Oh, there's Chiefs fatigue.
You know why?
Media doesn't give us our credit because they're tired of just how good we are.
It happened with the Patriots. This is not new. This is not some groundbreaking theory.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's true, I can't help but just groan at it.
I'm with you. I get it. So, sometimes it is over the top. My whole point here is they put Mahomes at 4. Whatever your rankings are, you can make the argument he's 4. You made the argument that because Aaron Rodgers is on it, then he should be 1. Either way, I don't care that much. All I know is the NFL and the players opened up a can of worms. That's all I'm saying. Between the Raiders and the puppets, and you heard Mahomes talk about that, them putting him at 4, when last time they put Lamar above him, what happened? Like, he keeps track of these things. He doesn't outwardly go out and talk smack on it. He backs it up and then shows you little glimpses of, yeah, I kept notes. It's like Ryan in the office when he's taking the little notes on his pad. That's Mahomes.
I mean, at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes last season threw 14 interceptions, only 27 passing touchdowns, was 6th in the NFL. No, wait. Yeah, around 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th in the NFL in passing yards per game. Like, he can't be rated the number one player. I think if winning the Super Bowl is not included, and even if it is, I think 4 is even a little bit too high for how he performed last year. But, like, well, what are you supposed to do? Just put a guy at number one just because he's Patrick Mahomes and, like, you don't want to, like, piss him off and make him play better next year? Like, it's supposed to be a ranking system. I can't put a guy at number one who threw 14 interceptions.
But you can put a QB ahead of him who is just atrocious. Any playoff game happens, anytime a big game happens, he crumbles.
The quarterback who won NFL MVP, yes, I can put it above him. If Patrick Mahomes had a better year, then he would have won MVP.
I never once said that Mahomes should have won MVP last year. He was not anywhere near the list.
Right. So if he shouldn't have won MVP, he shouldn't be number one on this list.
Sure.
All right.
Again, then Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be anywhere on the list. Like, again, that's all I want.
Yes.
All I wanted was some consistency. It's why I think this is fun. I think it's a fun argument. I think it's fun that players come out and do this, but it's not gospel. They don't watch every single game. There are agendas being pushed. There are some, and we've talked about it. Some guys put their friends because they're like, again, Hunter, I'm not saying everyone does this, but you went to a school with a guy. You might give him a little extra bump up there, little nod. Those things happen because they've been talked about.
Yeah, you want to talk about agendas and narratives. By the way, DJ, I see in the chat you can't put Hill over Mahomes. I completely disagree with that. You want to talk about agendas. You want to talk about some media bias. Once again, I guess it's not media bias because it's the players that voted, but the Falcons only getting 3 players in the top 100. Chris Lindstrom, Jesse Bates, and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, like, number 98. You're leaving out Drake London? You're telling me Bijan Robinson is in the top 100 player in the NFL? My guy, AJ Terrell, not a top 100 player in the NFL? Come on.
I think Bijan Robinson, you can make a case for. Drake London, I think, no. I think Drake London, he's like wide receiver 25.
Well, he did have Desmond Ridder as his quarterback last year, and the year.
Yeah, and Mahomes had MVS as his wide receiver 1. So yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have at least 8 of us on the list next year, anyways. So it's fine. DJ asked, would you put Tyreek Hill over Tom Brady if he was in his prime? I guess it depends on the year.
And it depends on the ranking.
I think the large majority of this criteria is based on last season's performance. And if you look at last season's, I mean, that's why I agree with you, Sterling, that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be on this list. If it's based off last year, he played 4 snaps. But if you're basing it off last year's regular season performance, you can't tell me Patrick Mahomes had a better football season than Tyreek Hill, who was on pace to get 2,000 receiving yards. And then he missed a couple of games.
And that's, again, if we had more breakdown, if it's just last year's regular season, that's it.
Right.
We'll throw Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. We'll say that that's just dumb. We all agree. Stupid.
Right.
If we just say last year's regular season, Mahomes is like 12th.
Right. Correct.
Because it was the playoffs that he really came on, and we get the wide receiver talk. I'm a Chiefs guy. I watched every single game, every snap. The wide receivers were ass. Like, they cost him tons of yards, tons of touchdowns. But it's not hypothetical numbers. It's what you put up. I say the same thing all the time in baseball. I say the same thing in the NFL. I don't make excuses. Same thing with those hypothetical interceptions. Well, were they real or were they fake? Okay. Did they or did they not happen? Right. Who won the game? Not what well, we almost won the game. No, who won the game? Right. But if it's just regular season, Mahomes is like 12th. CJ Stroud's ahead of him.
Right. I agree. Now, if this list is just like the top 100, like best career players who are like, are going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and you take both the past, the future, and the present all into consideration, you take Super Bowl wins into consideration, you take each player's career as a whole into consideration, then Patrick Mahomes will be number one for the next decade, maybe the next 15 years. And then that list, it makes the list kind of boring because you're just going to put Patrick Mahomes number one every single year. If Mahomes doesn't win in the post-Hill era, then I would agree, but he's the best player, but Pat running. But DJ, that's what we're trying to say. We're going off 1 year of regular season football plays for the 17-game regular season. If this list was just the top overall players in their careers, Patrick Mahomes is the clear number one, and he would have been for the past 5 years, and he would be for the next 15 years. But I don't think that's what this list is supposed to be.
Yeah, even though it says of 2024, like, again, they need to be a little more, forthcoming in regards to this if they want to take it, if they want to have it more credible, I guess. If they want it to be more credible of an actual list from the players, that's what I would do. Be more forthcoming with the judgment system because, again, I keep going back to it, but the Rodgers thing, it makes this entire thing seem confusing.
Right.
And by the way, how about the Chiefs? Final thought on the Chiefs. We can move on. This is not a Chiefs show. It's an NFL show. How about the Chiefs trading away the top player in the NFL and winning back-to-back Super Bowls once they traded him? That's crazy, right? Perfect. Chiefs traded
not a
away.
Chiefs not a Chiefs show.
Chiefs traded away the number one player, according to the NFL players, traded him away.
Yeah.
Won back-to-back Super Bowls. Man.
Must be nice.
Tough look for the NFL.
Must be nice. Not a Chiefs show, though. But yeah, I agree. Let us get some point form criteria because maybe we're wrong. Maybe this list is supposed to be just the top overall players with the overall careers, everything all rolled into one. And if that's the case, then this ranking system sucks. If that's the case, this ranking system's terrible.
Well, it's all careers and Rodgers is two.
Right. It'd be Mahomes one, Rodgers two. Yeah. But then I guess that would favor like veterans because then you'd have to, if someone had a successful career, but then is like kind of sucks right now, you'd still have to put them high.
That's the point. It's just,
It's meaningless anyways. It's a list, but just give us some criteria so we can make some stronger arguments one way or the other.
Yes. Cause if you're going to promote the hell out of this,
right.
That's all I'm saying. Ian, I'm glad we agree. I'm glad. See, was I fine? Ian, was I fine? I was fine.
Yeah.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at MedMutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on here because we are going to do our defensive rookie of the year draft here as well. But a couple quick things I want to get through first. Sterling, I know you're not a Hall of Fame guy, but the Hall of Fame game did show us our first look at live action of the new kickoff rule. Did you at least get a chance? I don't think you watched the game based on our conversation last week, but did you get a chance to at least watch some replays of the new kickoff rules and what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, surprisingly, Brett Rypien was not a versus Davis Mills, not a huge selling point for me.
Yeah.
I did watch the kickoffs. Went back, watched every single one, saw what Devin Hester talked about it as well. He was a little surprised at the lack of explosive plays. You know, Devin Hester sitting back there going, man, I would have had even more touchdowns playing in this type of a environment.
Right.
I don't think they showed us much. It was third stringers. I think everyone's keeping their plays close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
This was basically normal. The average return, I did the math. It was like starting the 26 and like the 27 or 26 and 24, whatever it was, the average starting position for both teams. It's the same thing as last year, 25, yep, basically, on touchbacks. But I think that was just because they're not showing anything.
Right. Well okay. Yeah.
I think it was underwhelming for what we were somewhat, I don't want to say promised, underwhelming though, based on the thought of every play is electric. Every play has a chance to break it open. You know, like we thought we'd see a lot more big returns.
Yeah.
We didn't, but it was also third stringers and a storm in the preseason with them being very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we got a real good look at what we're going to see come, let's say, week 11, week 14 in a playoff race.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, it will be interesting as the season goes on, how much it's going to change, like how often there's actually explosive plays that result in a huge return. My two takeaways are, number one, it is kind of effectively the same. In terms of how it's going to work out. I don't actually think we're going to see a ton more explosive plays, but I love it because as a former special teamer myself, third string running back when I played college football, so I was basically a special teamer, but also I was a 5'9" running back, so I've been on the wrong side of some big hits. I've had my fair share of meeting guys twice my size in the A-gap and getting blown up. The worst hits I experienced and the ones I looked forward to the least were when I was playing kickoff and kickoff return as a blocker, because though the old format was you do a 40-yard dash, and at the end of the 40-yard dash, you run into a guy who is doing a 40-yard dash at you. That is actually like literally like a small car accident worth of force. And that's when I actually got like my biggest like head injuries were on kickoff. So I do love this new format solely for the purpose of keeping players more safe, which I think everyone's talking about. We want to see more kickoffs and not just touchbacks, which is certainly, you know, a big part of it. And I'm excited for that. But I think the biggest benefit is keeping these guys a little bit more safe, because the most dangerous play, in my opinion, and from my personal experience in football, was kickoff and kickoff returns. Those sucked. I dreaded playing special teams in college football every single game, because those, not fun to run a 40-yard dash at full speed and then just smoke a guy. So I'm glad that part of football is done.
Yeah, and I wonder how close we are if this does not work, right? If this doesn't work, how close we are to going to just, you get the ball in the 25. Just start with the ball in the 25. I wonder how close we are to that. If you want an onside kick, that's a special onside kick or something. Because even in this new ruling, you have to let everyone know you're going to onside kick. There's no specialty, no tricks.
That part sucks.
So we'll see. But I'm at least intrigued by this. I'm pretty old school. Baseball, I'm like an 89-year-old man. I'm very old school when it comes to baseball. NFL, I'm old school, but when it comes to kickoffs, I understand the side of the injury aspect of it. I understand they're trying to make it safer. It is football. It's never going to be completely safe, right? You know what you sign up for.
Yeah.
You know what you sign up for. It's football. But what was going on was no returns at all. You might as well just start at 25. But if you want more action while trying to keep it safer, this is at least a good trial. I'm excited for the trial, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I am too. Moving on just really quickly about this. BetMGM has released the most popular team total bets that have been played so far in terms of overs and unders. Just your thoughts on this. The most popular over bet for their win total is the Pittsburgh Steelers are both receiving the most overall number of tickets on their over and the most dollars bet on all team total overs are the Steelers. Their win total is set at 7.5 this season. Mike Tomlin's never coached the Steelers to a losing record. His worst record as head coach was 8-8 in 2019, back before they expanded to a 17-game season. So for the under to hit, they would have to go 7-10. Could still have a losing season at 8-9 and still cash the over. But what are your thoughts about the Steelers, the faith people have in the Steelers going over 7.5 wins this season?
It's just faith in Mike Tomlin. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's all faith in the almost unbreakable streak of not going under 500. That's what it comes down to. This Steelers team is not good. Losing Deontay Johnson hurts him pretty bad, too. I know he's been injured and he sometimes drops the football. Deontay Johnson is a guy I would love to have had on the Chiefs. Like, if you like, I think every single team would say, yeah, we would take Deontay Johnson. Like, he's a good wide receiver. Losing him when you already have question marks with your two potential quarterbacks, not great. I think offensively, they're not good. Defensively, they'll be solid. But they play in a really good AFC North. You're playing Baltimore twice. Play the Bengals twice, right? Like, you play the Browns twice. I mean, the Browns aren't great, but at least defensively, you know, they're good. That's just tough, man. I would not touch this bet.
Yeah, to your point there, the Steelers actually have the most difficult schedule in the NFL this season based on their opponent's projected win totals.
Yeah.
Steelers by far the most difficult schedule in the NFL this year. Falcons have the easiest, so that alone makes me scared. Also, that plus the fact that Arthur Smith is their offensive coordinator. So expect a lot of jet sweeps to their backup tight end. The most bet under team by dollars. They have the second most tickets for their under. The most bet under by tickets are the Bears under 8.5. But second most total tickets bet and most dollars bet are on the Cowboys under 9.5, which is surprising because I actually really like the over for the Cowboys, 12-5, three straight seasons. I know they didn't make a ton of acquisitions on offense or in the offseason. They got Eric Kendricks, the linebacker, which I thought was a good acquisition by them. But they're largely returning the same roster as last year. Like I said, 12-5, three straight seasons, but their win total is 9.5, and they are getting the most money bet on their under.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
They're a regular season team.
Right. Well, yeah, this is not a bet on them to win the Super Bowl or to win any games in the playoffs. In the regular season, they've been an extremely good team three straight seasons now.
Yeah. They'll go 12-5 and lose first round of the playoffs yet again. Like, it's the same script.
Right.
It's the same thing every single year. It's like they get handed a movie script. It's you're going 12-5 and you're going to lose to some upstart team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's what happens. So,
and I mean, they could even regress a little bit this year. They could go 11-6. They could go 10-7 and the over would still hit. They'd have to go 9-8 for the under to hit, and people are pounding that. I can't imagine a world the Cowboys go 9-8 if they stay healthy.
Again, we're talking regular season.
Right.
Regular season. I'm ripping the over. Ripping the, like, I think this would be one of the most common over bets.
I agree. All right, we're going to finish with a defensive rookie of the year draft. This one's going to be pretty quick because we probably don't have too much to say as opposed to some other drafts that we've done here. But really quick, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, when we're done our show, you're going to listen to the audio of my interview with Matt Forte from this past week. We talked about the Bears this upcoming season, the NFC North, former fellow Tulane running back Tajay Spears, and also talked some Olympic flag football, which is going to happen at the 2028 Olympics. And also, by the way, I wrote an article and did a podcast of my best futures bet for each team. So you can check that out on Sports Illustrated or the Bacon Bets podcast. If you are better like I am, I broke down my favorite futures bet for all 32 teams. So you can check that out. But let's wrap up the show, Sterling, with our defensive rookie of the year draft. We go back and forth snake style. We draft players who we think are going to win this award. We've already done it for MVP and offensive rookie of the year. And then we'll take a look back at the end of the season to see which of our players racked up more award wins. Do you want to go first or second in this draft?
I'll go first because I think you went first last time, right? Okay. Is that? I'll just go back and forth. I'll make it easier.
Okay.
So I'll go first this time. I'm going with Dallas Turner.
Okay, good.
Whew. Which I think is the obvious one. Oh, you said, okay, good.
Yeah, there's one player I very specifically wanted.
There's one I want, too, a little later on, but I wonder if it's the same guy. I just think Dallas Turner gets a immediate start with the Vikings.
Yep.
And I think he's the safest bet.
Okay. I will go the one who... So Dallas Turner is the co-favorite right now to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. At plus 430. I like the guy he's a co-favorite with. That is Laiatu Latu. That's the guy I wanted. Colts pass rusher. I think he's the most, he was the first defensive player drafted. I think he's the most talented pass rusher in the draft. There were some questions about his health. He had a major neck injury when he was at Washington before he transferred to UCLA. Washington doctors wouldn't even let him compete for the team anymore. That's why he had to transfer. And then got 12 sacks last year. I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he's poised to have a big season. And also, I think he's aided by the fact that Kwity Paye is on that defensive line as well. So not all the attention is going to be on Laiatu Latu. So I will take him with my first pick. That was really the guy I really wanted. For my second pick, I guess I'll go... I'm going to go with a defensive back. I'm going to go Terry and Arnold for the Lions. We've seen some defensive backs win Defensive Rookie of the Year in the past. Obviously, Sauce Gardner a couple of years ago. I'll go Terry and Arnold. The Lions need a lot of help in the secondary, and if their secondary takes a big step forward this season, Terry and Arnold's going to be a big part of that. We'll also be playing alongside another former Alabama teammate of him, Brian Branch, in the secondary. So yeah,
I loved your first pick. I knew you were going that route. I forgot that you had I remember now you had an affinity for him coming out.
Yes.
And you're right about Kwity Paye. Kwity Paye is a blossoming star. Interviewed him a couple weeks ago for Stack in the Box. He was great. He was outstanding. But you're right, because that's actually massive, not being the only guy getting all the attention. That was kind of the guy with Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit.
You know, right.
Like, he's a great player, but he it's just tough when you get that much attention.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going another edge rusher, a guy I'm not super high on, but I think he's in a great spot because he's going to probably start. The Dolphins don't have a lot of guys at edge. So for that reason, I'm going Chop Robinson. I don't love it, but I like the opportunity he's in.
Okay. Off the board, Chop Robinson.
All right. Number three. I'll go Cooper DeJean.
Okay. It's a little off the board. I like it though.
I like it. Well, cause I think he's a really good cornerback. I said he was the best cornerback coming out of college. I loved him coming out of Iowa. Huge fan of his.
Sure.
The Eagles need a lot of help in the secondary. So right. I think he might start right away.
Right.
There's a chance he starts. And if he starts and the Eagles have a decent year, cause I think record wise they will, they'll get a lot of eyes on them.
I think you're forgetting though that they also have Quinyon Mitchell.
I know. I was going back between him and Quinyon.
Okay, you went Cooper.
Right, I went Cooper. Enough. I went back and forth.
All right. I will take Jared Verse, who's third on the odds list to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, the Rams. little bit of an issue now. I mean, I'd like it a lot more if they still had Aaron Donald. So then, I mean, that would open first way up because they'd be just double and triple teaming Aaron Donald. So probably going to put some focus on him now. So I will take him with that pick. And then, hey, if you went Cooper, I'll go Quinyon Mitchell. I'll take another defensive back. I'll take Quinyon Mitchell for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was going to take him as well.
Okay.
I was taking both. I was going to double down because I think one of those two guys is going to get it.
Yeah. You should have gone Quinyon first then.
Son of a gun. That's rude. All right. I'll go Byron Murphy for Seattle.
Good call. Yep.
And then I'll go Ben Simmons. Remember the whole rookie of the year thing?
No, yeah.
That was funny. Ben Simmons,
I took a second. I was like, was there some defensive rookie drafted late with his name, Ben Simmons?
CJ Stroud, right? I can take a second year guys now. All right, final guy. Oh, man. I'll go. You taking Quinyon Mitchell really was a buzzkill.
Yeah.
I'll go Peyton Wilson from the Steelers.
Okay. Yep. I like it. Makes a lot of sense. I think outside of the guys that we've already drafted, I would be shocked if someone else wins defensive rookie of the year. Usually it's won by like one of the top defensive picks. So I'm going to go off the board. I don't like the team that this guy is on. I actually hate the team that this guy's on, but I'm simply going to pick him because he now has the best name in the NFL. Give me Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
It's a great name.
The Saints. Just based on vibes. Name. He is 40-1, so it's not like he's like a crazy pick. He's like 15th on the odds list or something, or like 18th. I'll just go Saints, based though. Off name vibes.
But like the Saints have typically a decent defense. Like it's kind of a bad call. Tyrann Mathieu's going to get him in the right spot. You know that. Whatever your thoughts are on him, Tyrann Mathieu's I think he's a genius in the secondary. So I think he does get some help there. I tried talking myself into Kool-Aid McKinstry too. I tried for that exact reason. So that's a good pick.
Yeah. I didn't write down these names as I went along. So I hope you remember who you had. Cause that's the end, right? We each have five.
Yep. I got mine.
So my picks are Laiatu Latu, Jared Verse, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. So I went pretty heavy defensive backs. Three of my five are DBs. You went Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, Chop Robinson, Cooper DeJean, and Peyton Wilson.
The butt kiss winner, baby. Linebacker needs love too.
Yep. I like that. All right. That is our show then. Thank you all so much for watching. Give us a like, give us a subscribe. As we are approaching NFL season, we are ramping things up, of course. Like I said, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, the next thing you will hear, don't turn us off yet because you'll hear my interview with Matt Forte. If you're watching this on YouTube, just go ahead and just click over to that video. Click the Stack in the Box YouTube channel, make sure you're subscribed, and then watch the Matt Forte interview. And then go listen to my podcast, 32 Bets for 32 Teams, if you want some futures bets for this NFL season. Sterling, any final thoughts?
I just can't wait for football season. This new morning show is going to crush me, but I love the grind, baby. I'm a grinder. Wait.
Pause. Yesterday was the official mark of 32 days until the start of the NFL season. So 31 days until the start of the NFL season. I think tomorrow, because I think opening night is the 6th. So I think it's 1 month from tomorrow, I believe. So we're in the final stretch. The off season is almost over. I can't wait. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. We'll be back to talk to you next week.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, everyone. Ian McMillan here, and joining me today, former NFL running back and Chicago Bears legend Matt Forte. He's teaming up with Smirnoff Ice this summer. Matt, before we talk about your partnership with Smirnoff Ice, I do obviously want to talk some football. I want to talk some Chicago Bears. Obviously, there is a ton of hype surrounding the Bears heading into this upcoming season. But there's also a lot of new faces on this roster, specifically on offense. Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. Do you think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for this offense with just how many new players there are on this unit? You know, not only playing in a new system, but now playing with brand new teammates. Do you think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period, or are they going to come out firing at the start of the year?
Yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of an adjustment. Even if you came back in the same offense and with the same scheme that you had the previous year, there's always an adjustment. I think it's just that's how offenses are designed. They're a little more intricate, not to, you know, kind of down anybody on defense or anything like that, but they tend to start faster. It's always been like that way. I played a decade in the NFL, and every team I've been on, and it's only, you know, been two, but every time we came into camp, the defense would kind of dominate until we kind of got a hold on what they were doing. And, you know, barring that, in the 8 years I played in Chicago, we had five different offensive coordinators, so we switched offensive systems every other year pretty much. And so when you do that, you do have to get your timing down. You have to get new players who you're not used to playing with. You have to get that down as well. So there's always an adjustment period. So camp is essential for people to be there and to do that in the off season, and we'll see how that works. And I'm hoping that it happens sooner than later, because those growing pains kind of add up early in the season, and you don't want to drop a couple of games that you might have could have won.
Yeah, I mean, there is obviously a ton of excitement around the Bears because of just the amount of talent you see on that offense. But do you think that there's almost, you know, because of the excitement, there's been a high expectation set that's going to be tough for these guys to meet this year?
Yeah, there's a high expectation, but I think rightfully so. You know, you have all these parts and pieces that have come in offseason-wise, and some stable guys who previous year, like DJ, who did an amazing job last year with inconsistency at the quarterback position. And then you have the number one pick come in. So the expectation has to be high. If it's not, then, you know, I don't think they have the right mindset going into this season. So the Bears themselves should really be expecting to do above and beyond what even by everybody else is kind of expecting out of them. And then obviously being able to put in the work to back that up. So, you know, when you got these guys who have come in, who have had success previously on other teams, and then you have first round picks, and you and all of that is in the same huddle, the expectation definitely skyrockets by everybody.
How do you envision them stacking up in the NFC North this year, which is a fascinating division? Because obviously you have the Bears that are a young team, a lot of new pieces. You have the Packers, a very good young team. The Lions, who won the division last year, and even the Vikings, who, even though if you look at them as the fourth team in that division, still they have some playmakers on that team for sure. How do you think the Bears can stack up specifically in their division this upcoming season?
I think they got a good chance to be very competitive in the division. I know it's going to be, to me, it's even though, you know, playing in NFC North for the bulk of my career, being in the other conference, I feel like there were some seasons where, you know, even the 2010 season where we went to the playoffs and Green Bay went. And so two teams from the same, you know, division being able to go to the playoffs, that means it's super competitive. And when you look at, you know, last year and what the Packers did and then what the Lions did as well, it's going to bar if the Bears come in and they are super competitive and their offense and defense, you know, gels well together and all these, you know, parts and pieces like we just talked about that everyone's excited about, if they end up, you know, exceeding people's expectations, that is a good mixture for some tough battles in that NFC North division, because they call it the black and blue division for a reason. And, you know, you got really good quarterbacks on the Packers side, and on the Lions side with some tough defenses. And then when you're talking about, you know, the Vikings, you don't know what to expect because, you know, they got a new quarterback as well and with some other departures. But the Bears have a lot of additions, and they have the number one pick. So it's kind of a mixed. I don't think any other division has that kind of mixture in it right now with a lot of star power players from other teams coming in free agency, and then with draft picks coming in from us, and then successful teams from the previous year.
Now, be honest with me here. As obviously a former member of the Bears, is it a little weird that the Lions are kind of the team to beat in that division? Because, I mean, the Lions were the Lions for decades. And now we're here in 2024. The New England Patriots and the AFC are now looked at as one of the worst teams. And the Lions are one of the best teams in the NFC. Yeah. That's got to feel a little weird.
All that means is that we're getting old and you see the tide shifted. So when I came in, I definitely looked forward to playing the Lions.
Yeah.
I marked them out on the calendar first, and then as we continued to play in my career, even though they were, you know, record-wise one of the worst teams, they kept stacking first-round picks, and they were hitting on their first-round picks, and most of them were defensive line guys, and so I got to play, unfortunately, at the end of my, you know, career with the Bears against some of those tough, you know, defensive guys and some of those tough teams that they had. And at the end of the day, it's still the NFL. Like, this is everybody's livelihood, and these guys are professionals, so there's no really slacking off on playing because you're playing a certain team. So when they go out there, I hope they start to think about the Bears as that they can slack off on the Bears because, oh, it's the Bears, and then we put in the work and go out there and surprise everybody.
Now, I want to switch from the NFC North to the AFC South and specifically ask you about one player, a guy who you might be familiar, a fellow former Tulane running back, Tajay Spears, with the Titans this year. Big season for him now with Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I'm just curious, do you talk to Tajay at all? You know, being both Tulane guys, is there a community at all in the NFL between, you know, former Tulane players?
Absolutely, because there's more of them there now. At one point, it would be few and far between that you saw a Tulane football player in the NFL. And so when I saw him coming out, I had spoke to him, you know, before in spring practice and at Tulane when I would go down and visit. And then when he was on his rise, you know, I gave him a lot of advice heading into the combine, heading into the draft. And when he got drafted, he's a great kid, and he would call me, ask me for advice on different things. So I've been in constant contact with him, and I've been excited to see his growth as a running back. And it's part of the reason why Derek is in Baltimore right now is because Tajay was able to step up and show that, hey, he can handle the load. So I'm excited to see him in his second season to really, you know, explode onto the scene and show everybody what he can do even more than last year.
I got one last question for you, and then we're going to talk about your partnership with Smirnoff Ice. But obviously the big thing going on in the sports world as we're talking, Matt, is the Olympics. Now, I don't know if you've heard this. I'm sure you have. The next Olympics 2028 in Los Angeles, flag football is being introduced. Five starters on the field at once, if you didn't know, for flag football. I want, Matt, your dream starting five for Team USA 2028 in flag football. If you want to throw yourself in there, I'm okay with that. Give me your dream starting five on offense for Team USA.
Oh, man, 2025 starting team. I'm going to have to go with Justin Jefferson on the outside. On one side, I will go with who else? I have to go with – I'm gonna pick one of the Bears guys. I'm going to pick DJ Moore. He's solid. And let's see. We need a couple more, you know, skill players out there. Let's go with Tyreek. Let's go with Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Put him out there. He's obviously, you know, super fast. And flag football, you might not be able to get his flags. And other than him, let's go with who's going to throw the ball? Man.
I need a quarterback. And then what about a fellow running back too?
Yeah, let's go with Mahomes at quarterback. Yep. And then a fellow running back. I'm going to go with Bijan. Go with Bijan Robinson.
Love it.
He can definitely run routes and catch the ball.
Yeah, I don't know if you just said that because you can see the Falcons helmet in my background there. So, yeah, I love it. Tell me about your partnership with Smirnoff Ice, Matt.
Yeah, got a partnership with Smirnoff, and I want everybody in Chicago to meet me out in Wrigleyville on August 9th. There are going to be some surprises, and you might want to find out what that is. You may be wondering what that is, but it's basically a surprise with a little bit of swagger attached to it. If you want to find out even more about that, I want you to meet me out in Wrigleyville on August 9th. So partner with them, doing some big things and having a lot of fun to cap off the summer here in Chicago.
All right, I love it. Meet Matt Forte, Wrigley Field, August 9th. Thank you so much for your time, Matt. I really appreciate it. You take care.
Thanks, Ian.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.